It's so wonderful to be back with you. You who are my family in our Father's house. Oh Lord, I thank you and I praise you for all the things you've done for each of us here in the last month or two. Heavenly Father, you're so good to us. You know, I wonder what it would be like if you and I couldn't do that. Do what? If we couldn't just look up and pray and talk with God anytime, anywhere. What if instead God had an answering machine? Imagine praying and hearing this. Thank you for calling my Father's house. Your call is important to us. In order to speed the processing of your inquiry, please select one of the four options. If you do not have a touch tone phone, please stay on the line and an angel will be with you momentarily. And so then naturally, while you're waiting, you would hear recorded heart music. Please select one of the following four options. Press 1 for a request. Press 2 for a thanksgiving. Press 3 to complain. For all other inquiries, press 4. So you press 1 and hear, "We're sorry. Due to heavier than expected volume, please try your call again later. Your business is important to us." Or what if God used the familiar excuse, "All of the angels are helping other customers right now. Please stay on the line. Your prayer will be answered in the order it was received. You are number 34,342,000. But please stay on the line." Can you imagine these kinds of responses as you call on God in prayer? Or to receive the latest promotional gift with your order from Paradise Parlor, press 0 and an operator will assist you. To find out how many angels dance on the head of a pin, press 5. If you'd like King David to sing a psalm, press 6. For reservation information, or to confirm your reservation at my Father's house, press the letters J-O-H-N, followed by the numbers 316. To know what your pastor is doing at the moment, press 7. Let's disregard that. For answers to nagging questions about dinosaurs, the age of the earth, and where Noah's Ark is, wait till you get here. Or what if you prayed to God more than once in a day? Our computers show that you have called once today already. Please hang up immediately. This office is closed for the weekend. Please call again on Monday. Thanks a lot. Goodbye. Thank God. We can't call on Him too often. You only need to speak, and God hears you. You never get a busy signal. You never get a recorded announcement. God takes each call, each prayer, and knows each caller personally. God loves each one of us much more deeply than we can ever imagine. In fact, as our loving Father, nothing pleases Him more than when one of His children will stop and take the time to say thank you or I love you. And did you know that your Heavenly Father is constantly thinking about you? Did you ever stop to think about it? Our Heavenly Father is thinking constantly about you and me. Let's look at our scripture for today from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 to 14. And you can follow along as I read in your Bibles, or you can look on your bulletin insert. Don't worry, I'm not going to go through these verses all today, at least in detail. So we won't, you know, I've missed 4 Sundays, but that doesn't mean I'm going to preach an hour and a half, I promise. But I want to cover this first verse and then just mention the other verses today. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Some of the most beautiful words, the most comforting, the most powerful words in Scripture. "For I know the thoughts, the plans I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Listen to these words again. You can almost memorize them if you hear them two or three times, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, when these words were originally written, God was speaking through his prophet Jeremiah. In verse 1 of Jeremiah 29, we find out that Jeremiah was writing a letter on behalf of God to those from the nation of Israel who had been taken captive, and they were carried into exile to the foreign and enemy city of Babylon. So it's a letter written to people that are captives. You can imagine how these people were feeling when they received this letter from Jeremiah. Here the people of God had just been defeated, devastated in battle. Jerusalem and their homes and lives destroyed. Many of their family members and neighbors killed in the battle. Many of the survivors were enslaved and taken in chains to be the slaves of those that they hated, far away from home, far away from the life that they once knew. But even worse, if it's possible, those enslaved in Babylon now were realizing that God had actually allowed their destruction. God had actually allowed their destruction. Before the nation of Israel was conquered, the leaders and the people had turned away from God. They had turned away from doing His ways. They were living greedy, selfish lives, taking advantage of the poor for their own pockets. They were just going through the motions in worship. They didn't care about God. They just cared about themselves. And by the way, if God gave them some benefits, fine. But what they were worshiping was not God, but themselves. They cared about their stomachs, their wallets, and their comfort. In short, they worshiped themselves. And despite the fact that God warned them over and over again to repent and come back to Him and His ways, they would not. They had killed the prophets that God had sent and ignored others. So God let them be destroyed. God let them be dragged in chains to a foreign land, His people that He dearly loved. Not so much in anger, although I'm sure God was angry with His wayward people. But it was more, this is the only thing that will make them come to their senses and come back to me. This is the only thing that will wake them up. So through Jeremiah, God now tells His broken people the words of your scripture. For I know the thoughts, the plans that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You see, after He's just disciplined His people, God now gives them words of comfort and hope and even love. God hasn't given up on His people, even though they deserve it. And you know, today, if you have strayed away from God, if you've strayed away from following His ways, God hasn't given up on you either. If, as a Christian, you find yourself just going through the motions of prayer and worship, if these have become a chore or a pain to you, if you find little joy and intimacy in your relationship with Christ, then know that God still has not given up on you. And if you are not yet a Christian, God hasn't given up on you either. You are in God's thoughts, and He has a plan for your life and for each of our lives. Our scripture in verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts, the plans that I think toward you, says the Lord." We don't know God's thoughts unless He tells us, but God knows that He is thinking about us. The word thoughts here in verse 11 is a wonderful word. It occurs three times in this verse: thoughts, think, and thoughts. And it doesn't only mean that God is thinking about us. It refers to the mental process of thinking in which a course of action is planned. He's not just thinking about us. He's thinking about what will help us the most. He's thinking about how he can plan to make us into what he wants us to be. It means that God is thinking about us. He's planning his course of action, which will be for our good. This word for thoughts is also used in the Old Testament to refer to craftsmen inventing new types of musical instruments. Think about that for a minute. Craftsmen thinking about and planning how to make musical instruments. And to artists who create new works of art. Think of God as an artist, as a craftsman. And the craft is us. The piece of, and the work of art is us. These skillful inventions come from the plans and the creative imagination in the mind of the artist or the craftsman. The picture here is of a God as the craftsman or artist who is thinking about each of us and who is planning out all the various circumstances of our lives in order to create in us his work of art. His work of art. Have you ever thought about that? You know how much an artist cares about their work of art? How much a craftsman carefully works to make that piece of wood or piece of stone into exactly what he wants? The care he takes with it. This is true for the enslaved people of Israel, and it is true for each of us as well. Ephesians 2:10 is a wonderful verse to remember when things seem chaotic in your life, when there seems to be no meaning or no purpose in life. Paul writes this in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We are God's workmanship. We, each of us, is God's workmanship. The things that happen in our life, the way we are, is no accident. God is working out his plans in us and in our lives. And we can have confidence in that. Hello? Do you realize how amazingly wonderful that is? We have a God who hasn't just created and then gone off by himself to play a game or something. God has created us each intentionally, and then he sticks around and plans each part of our lives to make us his work of art. God is simultaneously working out in the lives of billions of people his artistic and creative plans, while at the same time carrying out his plan of salvation, which will culminate in Christ's second coming and heaven. Now, what kind of plans are these that God is carrying out in the lives of so many? Look back at the verse of Scripture. "For I know the thoughts, the plans, the creative, artistic things that I'm thinking of, that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans of peace, and not of evil." Another way to translate the word evil is harm. God's not trying to harm us. God's trying to help us. He's trying to give us a good life. God doesn't want to harm us or hurt us. His plans for us are plans of, as it says, peace. The word peace is the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom. And it means more than just the lack of war or peace of mind. Shalom means wholeness. It means well-being. It means life as it is meant to be lived, with all the happiness and joy that God wants to give us. It means safety. It means feeling confident that God will protect us. It means completeness and wholeness and tranquility. It means the state of being in good relations with other people and with God. It means all that. That's what shalom means. It means living within a group of people that are in loving relationships and share all things with one another. And it means being in a relationship with God where there is face-to-face communication and blessing. You see, that's the type of plans that God is carrying out in each of our lives, in all the various situations we're going through, even those that seem bad to us, even those that even times in our lives that seem chaotic and without purpose. Some of you know Romans 8:28, and if you don't, you need to memorize it and say it over and over and over again, especially when times are bad. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purposes. We know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purposes. We can have that confidence. That's a promise that God gives us, and He wants us to live by that promise. God causes all things to work together for good. It may not seem like it. Even things we consider bad or tragic, even our sin, God can work together for good. Now, that doesn't mean we try to sin, because we know God will work it together for good. But even those bad things, even the sin in our lives, God can use. God can work together for good. That's how powerful a God is. Some of you have heard the name Charles Colson, the aide to Richard Nixon, who was sent to jail for Watergate. As a result of his experience in prison as a convicted felon, Colson founded Prison Fellowship, now the world's largest Christian outreach to prisoners and their families. Prison Fellowship has more than 50,000 volunteers working in hundreds of prisons in 88 countries around the world. A ministry that has blessed millions of people got started 25 years ago because Charles Colson committed a crime. He sinned. And God even used that sin and his punishment for Charles' good and for the glory of God and for the health and betterment and well-being of millions of people. For I know the thoughts, the plans that I think, that I plan for you. Thoughts and plans of well-being and wholeness and safety and happiness, and not of harm or evil. To give you a future and a hope. To give you a future and a hope. To those enslaved in Babylon, there seemed to be no future. They were slaves of people they hated, far away from home. Their nation and their way of life had been destroyed, and the nation that enslaved them seemed unconquerable. Their future looked bleak. But God comes right into their hopeless situation and says, "Turn back to me. Turn back to me, and I will give you a future and a hope. Humanly speaking, you have no future, but with me all things are possible. I am thinking of you. I have not forgotten you or written you off as hopeless. Even now, I am making and carrying out my plans to give you the destiny that I've created you for. A future of well-being and safety and wholeness and happiness and close, loving relationships with other people and especially with me." But of course, the story that matters most to you is not the nation of Israel or even Charles Colson, but your own story. And what I want to say to you this morning is that the story of your life has not been ruined, not by your sin or your mistakes or anyone else's. God's good plan for your life is not buried under the mistakes of your past. You're not doomed to repeat the past. We aren't doomed to repeat the past. God has a plan for your life, a good plan, a wise plan, a loving plan, a sovereign plan, and that plan is still in effect. You haven't missed it. He is working out that plan in your life right now. Will you believe that? Will you believe that enough to live that plan? And will you renew your commitment this morning to seeking the God who brings good out of bad, who has a plan? Will you follow Him? Will you serve Him with your whole heart, free of the past, no longer weighed down by the past or by regret? Whether you're already a Christian or not, you can start over today right now and begin cooperating with the plans that God is carrying out in your life. It's a lot easier for God if we cooperate. Sometimes He'll do things whether we like it or not, but it's a lot easier and it's much more loving if we cooperate with God in the plans that He's carrying out in our lives. I'd ask you to pray this prayer with me and let us start drawing closer to the One who is constantly thinking about you and making and carrying out His creative plans for your welfare and benefit. If you sincerely pray this prayer, the rest of our scripture passage will come true. It will be fulfilled here today. It's not my promise, it's God's promise. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. I will hear your prayers and I will respond. I will answer your prayers. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. The God who has a plan for each of us is worth searching for with all of our hearts. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Your word is truth. Your word is beautiful. Your word gives us hope. Your word reminds us of your promises, that you have a plan and that you're carrying out your plan in our lives. We're so grateful for this. Lord, we are sorry for the things that we have done wrong in our lives which fight against your plan for us. And now we take just a moment for anything that comes into our minds that we can say we're sorry to God for. Heavenly Father, please forgive us. We now turn from everything that we know is not a part of your plan. Thank you that you sent your Son to die on the cross for each of us so that we can be forgiven and set free from ourselves and from this world and from sin and from death. Thank you that you offer us forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit to live within us forever. We now receive that gift. Please come into our lives anew by your Holy Spirit and fill us and be with us forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and we pray it in your name. Amen. If any of you are interested in accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'd love to talk with you about that. After this service, I'll be here up front and we'll be happy to talk with you.